This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, I'm going to tell you what just happened off the air. So, you know, Dana's gotten into this fitness kick and, you know, staying hydrated and being
good
healthy.
For her.
Yeah, really good for her, and we're proud.
To summarize, she's taking care of herself.
Correct.
Yeah.
So she brought in some water, but it was just regular, plain, boring, tasteless water, right?
Ooh, water, you good. Know.
Right. So she wanted to put a little flavor in it. And there was nothing to add flavor to her drink except three flavored drinks that she had brought in recent days.
Oh, my.
And she was just going to mix them up.
Little dash of this, little dash of that.
These are little mixed drinks you get at Panera or at Starbucks.
Oh, risky.
It's tea. It's mostly tea.
Tea flavored drinks, yes. And she goes back there. She goes, ooh, I could put some of this in my water. And she goes, let me look at the date. And she goes, this says January 30th. What do you think? I go, that was a week ago. No. Then she takes the lid off of the tea thing drink, and she goes, oh, my God. They were all from a week ago.
Fermented is the word.
Mold is a real thing.
Yeah. It has a strawberry puree base, and there were strawberries floating on top.
Yeah, that's the worst.
More solid than liquid. Oh,
chunky.
Science experiment.
It was good. It's all good. What a good day. The sun is back. The sun is shining.
We had a wonderful visit today on Frank Bowl's podcast. You guys remember Frank Bowl from Fox Sports?
There's just something about Kansas City.
And that'll be out in a couple of weeks, we're told. We'll let you know when it's out. Lovely interview. Frank and his wife, Sarah, are fantastic. And then we got to see Kara Markser earlier today.
Yeah.
Love her.
Always an honor.
Yep. Once a member of the show. And she was in because the Chiefs are headed to their third straight Super Bowl appearance. And every year, Dana and Kara like to get together and break down the game in a way that only they can. We will play it in its entirety tomorrow. But here is just a sneak peek at what you can expect.
Travis, let's start with 15.
Yes.
He is peaking at the right time because against the Bills, he set season highs in dropback success rate at 64.7%. His EPA was plus 21.5. Outside of the turnover, he played his best game of the season.
Do you think it's interesting that he's targeted receivers behind the line of scrimmage on 26.9% of his attempts? I'd still love to see him look for guys down the boundary and take advantage of Xavier Worthy's speed or even throw some contested balls to DeAndre Hopkins.
Hey, look.
Okay. Okay.
We'll break down the contested balls. I can't wait.
Do you have any idea what you just said?
Yeah, I do. Actually, Sam.
What's an EPA? Because I don't even know what that is.
Environmental Protection Agency.
That is correct, but what does it have to do with football?
Very powerful.
Does not apply in the NFL.
I don't have to explain my breakdown of the big game to you. Kara and I do what we do once a year without explanation and without comment.
Knowledge.
No, I'm just going to throw it out there. We're going to just let it ride out there.
And you if can the Chiefs take continue it? With the RPO action, he could find himself in a lot of one-on-ones.
RPO?
That is run-pass option.
Oh, okay.
I Please. Like his matchup with both inside backers since the Eagles play a ton of man-to-man.
I like the tutty, and I agree.
What is a tutty?
Touchdown.
It's my new favorite word.
With that, Kara, especially since the matchup to watch is the Eagles pass rush versus the Chiefs O-line, Eagles didn't register a...
from it's the text so rich. Line regarding so your drink concoction in there, bacteria is not a flavor.
Yeah. No, well, that is correct.
There's a flavor to it.
That is true.
And it does sound like you're making prison wine.
It
in
does.
There.
It does. A little Some fermentation.
A little hooch.
A little fermentation. Never hurt nobody.
Yeah. By the way,
have you seen the latest conspiracy theory regarding the NFL?
Oh, what here now? We go.
So there is a rumor. It has not been confirmed, but there has been a number of Chiefs, or excuse me, Eagles defensive linemen who have not been able to make it to practice due to an illness. Hmm. So, of course, social media, as these rumors make it to social media, is responding, saying this is the NFL's way of making sure the Chiefs win again.
Good well, God. It is the sixth season.
Knock on wood.
You know. Really? Cold, flu, RSV.
Can I tell you, for the first time, and I cannot remember how long, speaking of, I woke up this morning sneezing, like out of a dead sleep, sneezing, which then aggravated my
herniacal
issue that I've got going on down there. And then on top of that, I get out of bed. I think I counted, Scott, like 12. I got all the way up to
that's
a Scott Parks-esque.
Way to go.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm sick, but I'm a little stuffy.
I sneezed 10 times on the way home from work last night. Started right here at Metcalf and Shawnee Mission Parkway and continued all the way to Nemo.
Okay. That sounds like a safety hazard.
Bingo. It was. Sam, it bingo. Was. Because about my third or fourth, so I started sneezing where I live, and then I got into the car, kept sneezing, and then I'm exiting to get out onto the highway, and you know when it's coming, and it's coming, but it won't? But it's you're right there. I was like, come on and just do it already. And then it was like,
and you know what this is.
Then as I'm driving, I actually thought to myself, I'm going to die trying to complete this transaction.
Dan, in the future, do not see Sam and I are experts at this.
Yeah, I know.
Do not interrupt Dana in the middle of an unintended Dana-ism.
Will you just acknowledge that it could kill you if you are trying to merge onto a highway and that thing won't come out?
We totally forgot what you were talking about because Scott and I are just letting you roll on the Dana-ism.
Off the air, I go, you're getting all of this, right? Every minute, every second of what she's doing. And then Dan goes, well, you know.
I just want you to look up. Has anyone ever died sneezing on an interstate? Because I bet you get results.
I'm sure.
But then how would you know because they're dead? You would have to have, like, a witness.
The first story that pops up, when sneezing kills.
Oh,
the
yes.
CDC says
Lay
that roughly
me.
9 people per day are killed by distracted driving.
No! From a sneezer?
Jeez.
No, this is conflating facts here.
That water?
Well, you know what's going on for the both of you. You know what this is with all the sneezing.
Sneezing may cause sudden death. I knew it.
What's
this
that,
is late onset allergies.
I don't know what it is. I about died
in the middle
on 435.
Of the winter?
No, because of your age.
Oh.
You're getting allergies.
You're the oldest person on this show. You have no room to make fun of our age.
Yeah, but I'm not the boomer.
The National Institutes of Health released this. The dangers of sneezing, a review of injuries.
Well, of course it's dangerous.
I will peruse. There were 52 unique reports of sneeze-related injuries in the literature that were categorized into 6 areas of injury. Laryngeal, ocular, intrathoracic, intracranial.
That's what I had last night.
Otolic and other. I'm other. Car wreck would be other. The median age of subjects who suffered a sneeze injury was 40 years old, with 81% being male. Look at
Have you ever sneezed just once? Like just one sneeze and you're done?
Oh, I'm a single sneezer.
I'm not. I have never sneezed just once.
Now, I am a very aggressive sneezer. I have had the sneeze-related injury where if I'm not hydrated and my neck is already kind of tense, maybe I'm stressed out about something, I will sneeze so hard that I strain a muscle in my neck.
My grandfather had one of those sneezes that would clear a room. It was loud. It was angry. It was aggressive. And he was not a loud, angry, or aggressive person. But that Grandpa Norman would sneeze, and it would come out like, ah! like a screaming, shouting, low command of some sort. And I remember my grandmother, after two or three, would go, honey, honey.
Now, there is an element of really selling the sneeze. I can't imagine that some people out there who have the sneeze that you were just describing, that's not the natural sound
it
that happens when they sneeze. They are adding that sound
to
it.
Yeah, but he was not a draw attention to him. He was a farmer, Sam. It's so weird because he was not that kind of guy.
Especially some of the high-pitched sneezes that I hear.
Okay, can we talk about the girl that sneezes and it's a squeak?
Like when it changes octave, that's not natural. There's no way that you naturally changed octave in your sneeze.
We all know that one person who has that very unfortunate high-pitched squeak.
Oh, the
achoo! Yeah.
Achoo!
And it's like, what are you doing?
Or it goes, achoo! I'm like, that, what? You took a breath in the middle.
What was that?
Achoo! There are people that sneeze that way. That's not real.
Very funny. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl on Sunday, knock on wood, everybody, Pat Riley says he will allow the Chiefs to print merchandise with three-peat on it.
Oh, now, for a price.
Well, maybe. It doesn't say in the story. But Kansas City businesses, i.e. Charlie Hustle, will not be given that permission.
No.
Only the Chiefs.
Yeah.
There's going to be plenty of shirts out there.
Illegal. Here are some of the other ones that are being thrown around, like, that companies are going to use instead of three-peat. Chiefs Pete, I think you mentioned this one the other day, Dan. What? Pat Trick, i.e. hat trick, and Reed Pete.
Oh.
Reed Pete.
Reed
Pete.
Okay, that one's a stretch.
You don't think Chiefs Pete is?
No, but I'm still a big fan of Pat Trick.
Yeah, I think Pat Trick is really good.
Yeah, Sam was the first to come up with that. That was good.
Oh, Sam, was it you?
Yeah, Dan stole it from me the other day.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So apparently you will be able to get some merch. It will have to be Chiefs produced only that says three-peat on it.
Yeah, and if you go to the parade, if we have one, if it's warranted, you can walk up and down the street and there will be people with wares to sell. And
illegally.
They will have probably three-peat stuff. Possibly.
All right, quick break. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. My name's Scott.
What about Sneeze Pete?
Here on KMBC.
Achoo.
This is actually kind of interesting. There is now a survey out of each generation's favorite movies. And the all-time favorite movies of all the combined generations.
Okay.
You're from Gen X. Would you care to guess the top three?
Breakfast Club.
Nope.
Then this is a flawed study.
Number one? Well, number three is Star Wars.
Okay.
Number two is Rocky. I'm not saying that Breakfast Club isn't in it. It's just not in the top three.
Okay, wait. Star Wars, Rocky...
Don't think 80s.
Okay.
Think 90s.
I got nothing. Like Shawshank?
Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that.
Baby Boomers. Forrest Gump is number three.
Did they have movies back then?
Ben-Hur. No.
Wow.
Charlie Chaplin.
Wow.
No. Okay.
Number two.
Jaws.
No, but it's a big one. From 1939, I believe.
Oh, Gone with the Wind.
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, sorry.
And number one, from 1987.
Oh.
Can't Put Baby in a Corner.
Dirty Dancing?
Mm-hmm.
That movie would not be made today.
Millennials.
She was 17. It's disgraceful.
Millennials. Number three involved a big ship that didn't make it to where it was supposed to go.
I'll never let you go. But you did.
Number two is Forrest Gump. And number one is The Lion King.
Oh, you know why, Scott? As children, they watched The Lion King. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, my youngest, that sweet baby, texted me a few months ago and said, Mama, the How to Train Your Dragon real, not animated, How to Train Your Dragon is coming out.
I cannot wait.
Oh, Sam, I have photos of that sweet baby with his dwagon. He had a little... His dwagon. He had, you know, he was like three. And he had a little dwagon that we took to How to Train Your Dwagon.
Did he get it at the El Centro
thing? No, and I am telling you, I have the sweetest little photo of him holding that little dragon in front of the How to Train Your Dragon sign outside of the theater. He is now a young man, but an adult. Yes. And I said, we will be in the front row and go see that. I think there's something about the movies that we watched as children, except us, because it was Bambi and horror, like things like Watership Down. I mean,
The Fox and the Hound. Yeah.
Sam's generation.
Oh my God, I cried in that movie. Yeah.
Depressing.
Were they trying to traumatize an entire generation of children?
That was the first time I ever cried at a movie was The Fox
Dumbo
and the Hound.
With that sweet elephant baby ripped away from his mother.
All of those fairy tale-esque stories were originally horrifying tales. They were not in any way a Disney-type movie. And so the early generation of those films were their first attempt at adapting them to something that
Hansel
is somewhat
and
pleasant.
Gretel and the Oven?
Yeah.
I mean, my God. Oh, here's one. Where the Fern Grows. Just kill me now.
But How to Train Your Dragon, I have always said, is the most underrated animated movie
so good.
Of all time. I think it is the best. The storyline is fantastic. It is hands down amazing.
Okay, now here's Gen Z.
Okay, so what age is that?
That is the young kids.
I am the eldest Gen Z.
Okay.
So me and younger.
So it's going to be...
Two of them are animated.
Oh, okay.
Toy Story
is number one.
Yeah. Good guess, Sam. What's the other one everyone loved? It's not going to be WALL-E. It will be like...
Despicable Me?
Is it a Pixar?
Nope. Up?
I don't think it's a Pixar.
Okay.
Shrek is number three.
Oh, duh.
Okay.
And number two...
I liked Shrek. It wasn't in my top 20.
...is Avengers Endgame. Now, let's go to the all-time favorite movies. I won't bore you with the entire
everybody.
List. Of everybody combined.
Okay. Forrest Gump would have to be on that list.
Forrest Gump is number one.
Wow.
By the way, Shawshank is not even on the list.
It's on the bottom of it.
No, it's not.
Is Breakfast Club
really?
On that list?
No.
Wow.
Nope.
Titanic?
Number three.
Good God.
Now, obviously, there's an emphasis on somewhat feel-good type movies. Obviously, Forrest Gump and Titanic had tragic endings. But there were feel-good portions of it. With Shawshank, there aren't really any feel-good portions of it.
Jenna. Toy Story?
It's down there. It's not numbered, so I don't know how far it is, but I think it's 20. Okay. So it would be 16.
Give us a hint in the top 10.
Top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's one that's in the top 10. You Killed His Dog?
Oh. Keanu Reeves.
John Wick.
Dog's name was Daisy. I couldn't remember John Wick. John Wick. I love that movie. That's a new movie for me, Scott, that if it's on, stop what I'm doing and I watch it.
Oh,
I have to watch it.
All of them are great. Luke, I Am Your Father.
Yeah, Star Wars is on there. That's okay.
Number two is The Wizard of Oz.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number three, Titanic. I already told you that. Number four is Lion King.
Mm.
Number five, the worst movie ever made and so bad I refuse to watch it ever again. I'll never get those 2 hours back. Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Number six, John Wick. Number seven, Home Alone.
Oh, we forgot about Home Alone. Mm-hmm.
Number eight, this hurts me to say it, Fast and Furious.
Yeah, why does that hurt you to say it?
Which one of the 26 of them?
It just says the series.
Yeah.
Number nine, Star Wars, and number 10, Godfather.
I'm surprised. Oh, definitely the Godfather should have been higher.
See, I disagree. This is sacrilegious. Oh. I think Goodfellas was better. And there is no Goodfellas without Godfather. I understand that.
How did Indiana Jones not make it on any of these lists?
He did. 11, 12. Indiana Jones is 14th.
Okay.
Rocky is 15th. Some of the ones that were earlier, like 11 and 12, Back to the Future and Die Hard. Some of the others are Rocky, Toy Story, Ghostbusters, Rush Hour, Top Gun, and the Harry Potter series.
Die Hard, not a Christmas movie.
Well, it takes place during Christmas. So therefore, it's a Christmas movie, Sam. Okay. When we get back in just a few minutes, Dana mentioned this to me yesterday. There are some signs that have started popping up downtown.
Professional signs.
Yes. These are not handwritten and we're going to tape it to the wall. Professional signs telling you what not to do in downtown Kansas City. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Tell everybody the reach on your eggs video on Facebook. This is obscene.
6 seconds of me just saying, what in the world? Because eggs are so expensive right now.
I used a bad word, but yeah.
We have just surpassed 4 million views on that thing.
4 million. It was at 3 million yesterday.
Yeah.
That is excellent.
Get out. Which, by the way, have they caught the guy or woman?
Nope.
Who stole 100,000 eggs from some truck worth $40,000?
They have not cracked the case.
All right, that's all right, enough.
That is enough. That is enough out of you.
You stop right now. the unanswered question is, who put up the sign? It has no Kansas City ordinance on it, meaning the city probably is not the author. The Downtown Council of Kansas City didn't do it, nor did the Westside Community Action Network Center, only a block away. The Missouri Department of Transportation, which owns the property, said it has nothing to do with it. It's from the Star, by the way. The city of Kansas City's press secretary could not be reached. But there it was on Tuesday, an official-looking blue placard with white capital white lettering affixed about 9 feet up on a concrete column at I-35 on an underpass where northbound traffic exists onto West Penway Street leading into the crossroads. The sign reads, and I quote, "For your safety and theirs, do not give to panhandlers. Please contribute to solutions instead." Huddled in layers of blankets just beneath that sign, which those who know in the neighborhood said appeared no more than a week or so ago, stood Thomas Gonzalez, homeless for 3 years, panhandling on that corner.
You know exactly where this is.
Oh, sure. Of course I do.
You come down on that
right past the Ferris wheel, you go down the Penway exit.
You turn right to go to like Union Station. You turn left to go to Westside Local. Mm-hmm. It's right there. It is a very heavily populated area of homeless people. There's a gas station right there.
It's a
There's a teller-less gas station there. You can
couple of pumps. There is no actual building nor convenience store. I'm confused on what these residents are talking about because I've driven that exit many, many, many times. I love going down to the uptown. Really, anything that I have to do downtown that's not north or in the loop, I take that exit. That sign has been there for a long time.
Well, this is just went up 9 days ago.
I think what's intriguing for people is that you assume the city put up that sign.
Right.
I don't think it's the city. It looks like a city posted sign. I mean, in its dimensions, its lettering, it is a what looks to be a professional
sign. Yep.
City sign.
And it makes sense for it to be right there. That's a very busy intersection. You've got a lane that turns left, two lanes that turn right, and a third lane that turns right there as well. And it's unsafe for the number of people that make the underside of that bridge their home to be standing there asking for money and trying to traverse the traffic to get money from people willing to offer it to them.
Well, where are they supposed to go?
Well, recently we passed a law in Missouri that was upheld by the Supreme Court about the fact that panhandler or homeless people, not panhandlers, but homeless people in particular are not allowed to live under that bridge anymore.
That particular bridge?
Any state property.
Oh, okay. Huh.
So where they are supposed to go, I have no idea. But I think that that sign is at that intersection in particular because there have been issues in the past.
Well, but if you turn right, as Dana mentioned, to go to Union Station or the Garment District, that's where the panhandlers really hang out, is right there. You know the stop. You can either go left or right, and there's a gigantic mural right in front of you on the side of some building. There's always a panhandler there. Always.
I'm going to say it. I think there are two layers of issues in this town, and one bothers me a whole hell of a lot less than the other. You have the panhandlers, who some of whom, through no fault of their own, have mental health issues. Some of them are veterans, Scott.
Addiction.
Some of them have addiction issues. And then you have, and they bounce around more than the panhandlers do.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
You have the scammers asking for money and lying. At least the panhandlers... Look, I'm homeless. Give me a dollar for a cheeseburger or a beer. That's a problem over here. The other problem is the scammers. And have you noticed
where Samuel has cancer?
Oh,
and
yes.
Can you help with his treatment?
I was talking to MP the other day about this. Have you noticed in the most frigid winter months in Kansas City, apparently children no longer have cancer and need money on street corners?
Isn't that weird?
Isn't that so weird?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the cancer for which they are trying to raise money, or the bone marrow transplant for which these people are trying to raise money, apparently there's no need at all in the winter months.
Well, they beg south for the winter.
Well, no, cold kills cancer.
Well, then
I said
they
that
would need
out loud
the
other day. I go, have you noticed that all of those scammers, they to Sam's point, I think they go south to scam people out of their money.
I guarantee you they do. And then come up here when it gets warmer.
I would
guaranteed.
Say the homeless problem and the panhandling problem, every city is struggling to deal with it and figure it out. The scammer, fake kid with cancer, I'm going to rip off people problem, that problem is not hard to figure out. You arrest every single one of them until we run them out of town.
On what charge?
Being jerks that
is,
are...
Is that a misdemeanor or
that
a felony?
Are, I think it's a felony. It's okay. Felonious jerkdom.
Well, now...
And none of them are local, by the way. The fake... kid cancer scammers.
They work their way across the country.
Exactly right. I know you're not supposed to use the word gypsy. I don't know what else to call them. They're gypsies.
Wow.
That's what they are.
They have been known to be aggressive. And when they get aggressive, they are then violating the law. There are laws against aggressive panhandling.
Didn't you say you saw them a couple of weeks
ago?
No,
they were raising money to fight to keep women off drugs. Totally different.
And you yelled out, scammer!
Yes.
Scammer!
And they screamed back, the scammer is you!
That's like, right.
What? But to the Lenexa Police Department's credit, an officer drove by, said something out the window, which I'm sure was, wrap it up, get out of here. And then you saw the lead scammer guy do the universal signal for wrap it up.
Hooty-hoo!
And the Lenexa police officer wheeled around, did a little U-ey, and came back. And then you saw the other guy more urgently going, wrap it up, we're busted.
I'm trying to figure out were they in a median?
Yep.
I mean, maybe you could get them on that. Maybe. But I'm trying to think of what law they're breaking.
It's a lie. It's fraud.
Lying is not against the law.
Fraud is if you are taking people's money under false pretenses.
But how are you going to prove that they're lying? How do you know that there's not a Miguel?
Because they're ripping off photos of actual sick kids that you can find on the internet.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Kevin in Parkville. Kevin, good afternoon. Hello.
How you doing, sir?
We're doing well.
I would arrest him for littering, because half the time, or most of the time, you see them, they've got a Quick Trip cup left there from when they had lunch. There's trash around. They littered. That's a $500 fine. Take them. And when you've got them in jail, if they don't have the $500 and they are a legitimate guy, then It's a legitimate homeless guy.
But it's only
if it's a regular guy like you or me that's just out there making an extra bucks, he'll come up with the $500 to get the hell out of jail.
But it's only littering if you leave the trash, is it not?
Most of the time they do. Okay, so wait till 5:05 when they actually walk away from the site to go home for the day, and then they've left the trash.
Yeah. It's a fair point. I can hear the police officers in bigger cities like Overland Park or Kansas City, Missouri, of course, Kansas City, Kansas, Independent, screaming, we've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Then sit around and wait till 5:05 until some homeless guy or a panhandler walks away from their corner and leaves a Quick Trip cup, and then we're going to go bust them for littering, $500 fine they don't have. I can hear them all screaming at their radios, we've got bigger things to do.
Now, Merriam did recently pass a law that you cannot loiter on a median.
Yeah, and you know what they've done? They've gone to the side of the road.
Yeah.
Because I drive by those panhandlers at I-35 and Shawnee Mission Parkway every single day, and they've just moved to the side of the road. And they wait.
But you know why they still do it?
Because people are giving.
People are giving
them
money.
Because people give them money.
Not people who listen to this show don't.
Is it bad to give a panhandler money?
I think with the panhandler, the difference is you know where your money's going. And it's hopefully to help someone, but more... In a lot of cases, it's for probably alcohol.
Booze or drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that. When you give your money, you know that.
But once it's out of my hands, that's on them.
I don't know if bad is the proper term. It definitely doesn't help the problem.
No, it probably encourages it.
I've told the story before. I was on a field trip in like the sixth grade, and we went to McDonald's and got some breakfast. We were going down to Union Station for something, and we got off the highway, and there was a panhandler, and we had some extra sandwiches. And we gave the panhandler a sandwich. Mm-hmm. And as we pulled away, we heard a thud, and it was the sandwich hitting the back of the window.
They threw it?
They threw it at the van. It was a mom being a chauffeur with, what would that be, six of us kids in it. And they threw the McDonald's breakfast sandwich at the back of the van as we drove away.
Now, I have given food, like, I'm trying to think where I was. I think it was at the Target on Shawnee Mission Parkway several years ago. And there was a younger lady with two kids, you know, the sign read, hungry, can you help? And I did not give her money, but I did go inside Target, and they have a grocery store inside that Target.
Yeah.
I got her a loaf of bread, some bottled water, crackers, and something else. And she was very appreciative.
Oh, she was appreciative.
Yes. And she said, thank you, God bless you. And I said, may God bless you.
And some of them are legit, but, you know, how do you weed them out?
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. All right, welcome back. By the way, what the higher egg prices are making people rent, coming up in just a few moments.
By the way, we would be remiss. I just want to mention this, Scott. I am heartbroken over the death of the Telemundo Kansas City sports reporter. Mm-hmm. We have just gotten word that one of our local reporters has died while on assignment covering the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
So young.
Adon Manzano was found last night, I guess, in his hotel room. They're investigating. They don't know what happened. No foul play is suspected. But this stabbed me in the heart. He apparently lost his wife very recently in, I believe, a car wreck in Topeka. And they leave behind a young child. And so some emails have gone out to see if there's anything that can be done to help his family, but I just wanted to mention that. The sports guys mentioned that to us, and I just got an email about it. Just heartbroken.
Sam, you knew him casually, did you not?
Yeah, so he was always at the media games, Sporting Kansas City, KC Current, and the first couple of media games that I went to, I was the only one from this building that went. I didn't know anybody. Everybody knew everybody, and I was just the outsider. And the very first media game at Sporting KC, I just stood in the corner of the locker room having no idea who these people were and just kept to myself waiting for the time that we were going to go out and kick the ball around, and Aiden was the only one that came up to talk to me.
Really?
And we sat and chatted, and he was the nicest guy in the world, and every time I saw him at another media game, he was the first one to walk up and say hi, and yeah.
He is so young. According to KCTV5's sister station, WIBW, Manzano's wife passed away in April as a result of a car crash in Topeka. She was an elementary school teacher. The couple leaves behind one child, a toddler.
Oh, that's too bad. 913-586-7798. Very quickly, and then we'll move on. Dave in North Kansas City. Dave, hello.
Well, I got one of the best panhandling stories I've ever seen. Years ago, I'm up in New York City over Thanksgiving, and I'm standing on the corner of Carnegie Hall waiting for some friends to pick me up. There was the little old guy, kind of a Jimmy Durante type, standing there, and he kept singing, "You better watch out. You better not cry. You better watch out. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. He's coming in New York City." And he had a little white Dixie cup, and people were dropping money in it. And every time they did, he'd say, "God bless you, you look like Barbara Streisand," or "God bless you, you look like Al Pacino." And he kept that up for a half an hour. Well, I finally got picked up, and he was still doing it, and he was raking in the money.
Dave, I don't know if you've ever been down to New Orleans, but it's something. And there are multiple, quote, street performers, but that is a stretch. No. There are people that will paint themselves like silver, and then they just stand there motionless. There was one guy.
Like an anti-mime?
Yeah. There was one guy that had a little black wooden box, like about a cube, okay? Yep. Think of like a milk crate, but a wood.
Okay.
He would stand up on it, and he had a tiny little broom, the kind that you would use to sweep your fireplace, tiny little broom. And he was pretending that was a guitar, and he was just playing air guitar on this little broom. And then there's a little cup there. They're basically...
Was there music that he was playing too?
No.
He was just strumming a broom, and there was no sound.
They're glorified panhandlers, but they stand on boxes. Now, some of them have more elaborate makeup, but I think they're homeless. It's just a new
take.
They
better be.
A new take on panhandling. I mean, for all you down there, or if you have relatives down there for the game, you will see some of the most bizarre, the people watching down there is some of the most bizarre people watching you will ever see.
Are you talking about the fake violin players?
Yeah. No.
Because they have sound. They have little speakers. The one that are always over at Target.
Now, I do love the guys that have like the 5-gallon construction buckets and the drumsticks.
The guy outside of T-Mobile Center.
That is talent.
I mean, that is real music right there. And if I've got a couple of bucks in my wallet when I walk by, you're getting it.
Well, because they're performing.
Yeah.
They're actually doing something. And the money that you give them is your way of saying, "I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate your talent." Now, there's a guy who's always outside of the Sprint T-Mobile Center after a concert, and he plays right there on the northwest corner where everybody's crossing to get over to the parking garage.
He's there for every single event.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He is amazing.
Creative.
The risk of rogue rocket debris and other man-made space junk colliding with planes is a growing challenge that's only getting worse as interplanetary traffic and commercial airline flights increase, according to experts. Is there ever a good flying story in the news?
No.
Not lately.
Now we're going to get hit by space junk?
That's going to be the best band name, though. Rogue Rocket Debris.
Rogue Rocket Debris.
Love it.
According to Ewan Wright at the University of British Columbia, there is a 26% chance of an uncontrolled space debris reentry in busy airspaces like the northeastern United States and northern Europe every single year. He co-authored a paper titled "Airspace Closures Due to Re-entering Space Objects." I bet that's a fascinating read. Mm-hmm.
Do we have another plane crash today?
Not that I'm aware of.
U.S. service member and 3 defense contractors killed in small plane crash in the Philippines. It just says 1 United States service member, 3 defense contractors were providing intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance support at the request of allies in the Philippines. Huh. It was a routine mission, not that there is ever anything that is routine, And the service member and defense contractors were the only people aboard the plane.
Dan, did you bring your French horn in today?
We're going to have to delay that.
Lies!
Why?
Well,
he showed up for the picture this morning and was in a hurry and forgot.
I pulled out my horn and set it by the front door, and I just ran right out so I could get here in time.
How do you stumble over a French horn and not remember it?
That's what I want to know.
Well, I should have put it in my path, but I didn't.
News with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.